This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. If you could walk into any school in Michigan, any district, and look around at the student body, you might not realize it, but somewhere in there, chances are pretty good that you'd be seeing students who are homeless. There are more than 37,500 homeless students in Michigan, and you know what? That's up 66% in the past 4 years. So it seems even as our economy begins to struggle its way toward recovery in Michigan, we've got a rising number of homeless students trying to struggle their way through school. So joining us now to talk about the challenges that homelessness poses to students and to the school district serving them are Angela Parth. She's the executive director of the Connection Youth Services in Livingston County. She joins us in the studio. Welcome, Angela.
Thank you.
Good to have you with us. And Holly Fiedler is the homeless liaison and social worker at the Milan Area Schools, also here in the studio with us. And thanks for coming in today, Holly.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
So I want to start with you, Holly. You work with these homeless students under the auspices of the federal McKinney-Vento Homeless Assistance Act, which we're going to talk about in a little bit later about what that act means in terms of supporting homeless students in Michigan. But first of all, what do you think is behind the rise in homeless students, even as it seems more people are going back to work in Michigan and the economy is trending upward? Why are we seeing such a really a dramatic increase?
Well, I think part of the reason is that the evictions and the foreclosure process has taken some time. I think that people have utilized resources that they've tried to use for a long time, like maybe their retirement or other forms, or their family has been helping them out, and after a certain period of time, or friends. In small communities, we have a lot of really good, decent people that take people in, and after a while, if there's still no employment and no housing, eventually, I think, you know,
you can tap things out, can't you?
Yeah, you run out of resources.
So this is almost, it sounds like, I don't want to use the word delayed reaction, but perhaps it is a delayed reaction from what was going on economically in Michigan in the last few years.
Yes.
And just give me an idea, how many students do you have in your district who are considered homeless?
At the present time, we have 70, and our district is not uncommon. Mm-hmm. We have no more or less than other rural communities. Those districts who perhaps, you know, may not think they have them, they do. They're just hidden more in rural areas.
And may not report in as homeless.
Yes.
Is that part of that?
Yes. And that's what the federal McKinney-Vento program has really helped to get better documentation.
Okay. Angela, your group is the Connection Youth Services. You're in Howell, and you're serving homeless students and families in crisis. So give us some idea. What does homelessness look like and feel like for these students and their parents?
Sure. It's certainly not something that is written across their foreheads, so to speak.
Right.
I think that in schools and in our neighborhoods, it's difficult to identify a homeless child, especially because really homelessness is defined as a child who does not have a conventional place to sleep at night. So that may be a homeless youth could be someone who is paired up in another family's home, perhaps living with a grandparent, couch surfing on other friends at other friends' homes. Certainly, they're not necessarily youth who are sleeping under bridges and under overpasses. These are youth who are trying to find places to sleep at night. And so a homeless youth, we serve youth ages 11 to 17 in our emergency shelter. And them going to school and having friends and extracurricular activities is something that is normal for them. Mm-hmm. It's when they come home is where they don't have necessarily a place to call their own.
For both of you, tell me what you see based on your daily work with these students, the main challenges, both academically and socially, that I could see. You must know this very well, Holly, that these mm-hmm. students face at whatever grade level they're in, correct?
Right, exactly. And when children do move about, they typically lose 4 to 6 months academically each time they move. And socially, they're afraid to get too close to individuals because they never know how long they're going to stay somewhere. Also, trying to get involved in extracurricular activities, lots of times they're worried about where they're going to sleep or how long that individual is going to let them stay there, or their food and things of that nature. To be concerned about, you know, being able to play in sports or being able to go to a dance, it's not even in the realm of things. they have so many losses that they experience. You know, they not only lose their home, but sometimes the families need to be separated, you know, and live at different places because there's not enough room for them somewhere. Not to mention family pets. You know, they've had to get rid of their belongings, have to be scattered about. They lose a lot. Sometimes they're living in houses with that's a two-bedroom with five kids that have moved in. They don't have a place to study, quiet place to study. Sometimes they're sleeping on the couch in the home, and so therefore that disrupts their sleep.
Sure.
You know, they don't have their own room. They might be up late because someone else is wanting to stay up and watch the television or something. I mean, there's all kinds of factors that come into play.
And what are you able to do in working with these kids? I'm going to ask you both because you do. How do you help support his or her own self-image? Because, right. Boy, I know how much peer pressure matters all the way through school. And that has to leave a mark that is hard to shake off as a child moves on into adulthood.
Certainly. I think what is important really is to give them, first and foremost, safety. A lot of youth that we see don't feel safe. And giving them a safe place to stay and to get a good night's sleep is really important. And then giving them opportunities, promoting opportunities in their life that are normal, being part of sports teams, being part of youth councils, being part of the community, which is really important. One of the great things about the McKinney-Vento Act is that it basically states that a child has a right to stay in their home school district. So irregardless of where they're residing at the present time. So let's say a youth is currently going to school in Brighton,
okay.
Let's say,
yeah.
And they become homeless and displaced, and they come to our shelter. They have the right, even though our shelter is located in Howell School District, they have the right to remain in Brighton. So the McKinney-Vento Act really gives us an opportunity to provide transportation to that school, to also allow that student to continue without disruption going to that school, which is very, very important. So keeping that sense of normalcy is vital with the youth and helping them really maintain their self-esteem and really being a part of their community.
And Hadley Fiedler, you're actually the McKinney-Vento Homeless Liaison. So that means because of that act, you're in place to help make this all happen?
Yes, I work in conjunction with the county coordinator. Mm-hmm. And we help to transportation. Like she said, it's immediate. The one thing about McKinney-Vento is it's immediate enrollment, regardless of whether they have the paperwork necessary to enroll, because that used to be a handicapping situation for people who would move about frequently. They'd lose paperwork. So it's immediate enrollment and free lunch. And then, as she was indicating earlier, transportation, too, to ensure they can remain in their school of origin. And we work cooperatively with other districts to try to finagle, okay, the bus route will drop off at this particular spot, and then they'll catch up in another spot, you know, collaborate and work well together with other districts to ensure that we can provide that transportation.
Sounds like you might have to get creative.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Very much
yeah.
So.
And scholarships for sports events and working those kinds of things out in McKinney-Vento assists with field trips and with sports too, funding for school sports and things like that.
Right.
So all that helps.
I'm talking about the problem of homelessness with students in Michigan and speaking with Holly Fiedler, who is the homeless liaison and social worker at Milan Area Schools, and Angela Parth is the executive director of the Connection Youth Services in Livingston County, both of whom work very, very closely with these students. I'm kind of interested in how do the challenges differ for rural students versus urban students and suburban students? I would suspect there are some pretty unique challenges with each. I'll start with you, Angela.
Sure, absolutely. I think it's different no matter the demographic, for sure. But I think that in urban areas, maybe transportation and is a little bit easier. There's public transportation, where in the rural areas, it's very difficult. There's a lack of public transportation system. So I think that is very important. I think that also the presence of just the homeless population in the different areas. I believe youth who perhaps come from a more rural area, there's more of a stigma, I believe, on being labeled as homeless. I think it's a stigma no matter what, but I also think when you're not seeing it on a daily basis, you're not necessarily thinking about it, and therefore the stigma is different across the demographics. In the rural areas, perhaps there aren't as many programs available for youth, where in the urban areas there are more nonprofit agencies or public agencies in the area.
Do you have any views on that or just anything you'd like to add, Holly?
Transportation is definitely a problem. You know, they don't have the public transportation to get to and from various places to apply for benefits and assistance and things like that. And if they do happen to have a vehicle, is it maintained regularly? Mm. Do they have the money to maintain it? Do they have the gas money? Beyond that, too, rural areas do not have homeless shelters. You know, they have very few, if any, low-income housing. Those are other issues that are problematic.
So these students are really dependent on doubling up and couch surfing and maybe staying with grandma or something along that line. Yeah. Now, we talked about the federal aid. I know in 2011, Michigan got $2.3 million in federal funds, and that worked out to about $40 per homeless student. And then I saw a figure that said for this school year, the 2012-2013, that subsidy is down to about $21 per student because the state got the same amount from Uncle Sam, but there were more homeless students. And then the sequester is going to cut funding by 5% for the upcoming school year. What will that mean in terms of the services and the help you can give these students?
Well, unfortunately, like a lot of programs, it's a wonderful program and great services, and these kids need it. And it's obviously mandated, but it's one of those unfunded mandated programs. Transportation, for example, if you can't arrange a situation where you have buses picking up, then the financial burden falls, you know, on the school districts, which are continuing to lose money as well. So not only is there not sufficient funds in the grant itself, but there are not funds allocated for the school districts for these services. We rely heavily on, you know, donations. In fact, there's a benefit. I want to make sure I let you know about that. Okay, on Thursday from 5 to 9 at Big Boy on Plymouth Road in Ann Arbor, all the 10% of the sales and all tip money will be going to help fund some education program projects. But though we have to rely heavily on donations.
Which really, that leads me into what can people who want to help do? Because it does sound like you have to look to the community. It takes a village to raise a child. That adage seems to hold here, doesn't it, Angela?
Absolutely. I think people who are in the skilled trades, people who want to mentor youth, I think that's so important because youth feeling like they're connected in a part of their community is so important for the health, the physical and emotional health of youth in our community. So anybody who wants to volunteer their time to mentor a youth, it's very important. If you have some type of skill to share with a youth, I think that that's important. You know, I think people forget the homeless youth population because there's somewhat of a stigma. People think, oh, you're a homeless youth. You must be bad. You must have done something wrong.
Gotten kicked
Your parents kicked you out of the house because you're doing drugs or whatever it might be. And a lot of our youth are victimized. They're youth who come from very traumatic backgrounds. They come from backgrounds of domestic violence, of maybe caregivers using substances. And really, there is no public program that's mandated to provide services to homeless youth. And the only thing we have are the schools and the McKinney-Vento Act that are really mandated people and charged with caring for our homeless youth. The programs across Michigan, there's 26 homeless runaway youth programs throughout the state. And we receive funding from the federal government and from the Department of Human Services, which, you know, that funding's being cut as well. And so we're kind of charged as nonprofits to apply for these grants to help these kids. foster care youth, youth who are part of a system, are all mandated. They all have caseworkers. They all have somebody who is assigned to them by some law. You have to provide care for those youth. Homeless youth are not youth who receive a mandated public service other than the McKinney-Vento Act through the schools.
Do other states have such a mandated service in place? Is Michigan behind that, or is that pretty much the situation across the nation?
So in 1974, with the Homeless and Runaway Youth Act, the federal government basically said, this is an epidemic. This is really growing. This is a population we really need to pay attention to. And so the federal government basically charged the states, here, we're going to give you some money. We're going to allocate some money for grants and for funding. You apply for those grants, and we'll make sure that you get money for those services. So I'm not aware of any other state that's, you know, mandated to have a public system to watch out for these youth, like the foster care system or like, you know, the human services agencies throughout the states. That's important to remember when we're talking about funding and we're talking about who's looking out for these youth.
Yeah, I know that the federal McKinney-Vento Act was incorporated as part of the No Child Left Behind.
Correct.
Yeah.
I'm interested from both of you because you clearly carry such passion for working with these children and helping them really into a better life's track. Holly Fiedler, what have you learned from working with these kids? What have you taken away from your experience in helping these young people?
How resilient kids are. I think what I've also learned is it seems like the less people have, the more they give. I know that seems a little separate from speaking about the kids per se, but I tend to find that those families and individuals who have the least are the most likely to take these people in and house them and help them.
What have you seen, Angela, in your work?
I agree with Holly, the resilience in these youth who have, I heard somebody use the term throwaway youth recently, and that's kind of what they labeled these homeless and runaway youth as. And they can be the most creative, the most caring, and really intelligent youth. They're so smart. They are very willing and wanting to be a part of their community and have a sense of pride about who they are and where they come from.
Well, certainly a problem and a challenge that takes a lot of heart as well as dollars to meet. I've been talking with Angela Parth, Executive Director of the Connection Youth Services in Livingston County, and also Holly Fiedler, who's the Homeless Liaison and Social Worker at Milan Area Schools. And thanks to both of you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.